Climate Change the Facts. The Scientific Context by Robert M. Carter. Part 2. Where to from here? The IPCC and NIPCC reports. And thus we arrive at the present impasse, in which the IPCC and its attached covey of special interest groups continue to argue vehemently in favor of taking costly action to limit industrial CO2 emissions, at the same time that many thousands of qualified independent scientists assert that government policy should be concerned with adaptation to natural climate hazard rather than targeting chimerical human-caused warming. Faced with this conflicting advice, some Western governments are continuing to respond to IPCC alarmism by taking penal financial measures against CO2 emissions, for example, in the USA and the UK, whereas others have already signaled firmly that they are not prepared to enter into new Kyoto-style anti-emissions agreements, example, Canada, Japan, Australia. To attain a fuller and mature understanding of the topic, and to move the matter forward, requires that policymakers consult and compare the two compendious and up-to-date summaries of climate-related research that are produced respectively by the IPCC and the NIPCC. Both teams of authors provide similar scholarly analysis and summary of recent scientific papers, but with the key difference that whereas IPCC scientists are effectively government-appointed and work in close cooperation with environmental lobbying agencies, NIPCC scientists are fully independent of political, financial, and lobby group influences. Given this difference, and despite the fact that the corpus of scientific papers they consider is similar, it is perhaps unsurprising that the scientists of the IPCC and NIPCC have reached diametrically opposing conclusions about the hazard posed by human-related CO2 emissions, as summarized in the accompanying tables 2 and 3. In Table 2, we have selected primary science conclusions from IPCC 2013. Warming of the climate system is unequivocal, and since the 1950s, many of the observed changes are unprecedented over decades to millennia. The atmosphere and ocean have warmed, the amounts of snow and ice have diminished, sea level has risen, and the concentrations of greenhouse gases have increased. Ocean warming dominates the increase in energy stored in the climate system, accounting for more than 90% of the energy accumulated between 1971 and 2010. It is virtually certain that the upper ocean warmed from 1971 to 2010, and it likely warmed between the 1870s and 1971. And, over the last two decades, the Greenland and Antarctic ice sheets have been losing mass, glaciers have continued to shrink almost worldwide, and Arctic sea ice and Northern Hemisphere spring snow cover have continued to decrease in extent. And, the rate of sea level rise since the mid-19th century has been larger than the mean rate during the previous two millennia. Over the period 1901 to 2010, global mean sea level rose by 0.19 meters. Also, the atmospheric concentrations of CO2, methane, and nitrous oxide have increased to levels unprecedented in at least the last 800,000 years. CO2 concentrations have increased by 40% since pre-industrial times, primarily from fossil fuel emissions and secondarily from net land use change emissions. The ocean has absorbed about 30% of the emitted anthropogenic CO2, causing ocean acidification. And human influence on the climate system is clear. This is evident from the increase in greenhouse gas concentrations in the atmosphere, positive radiative forcing, observed warming, and understanding of the climate system. Also, human influence has been detected in warming of the atmosphere and the ocean, in changes in the global water cycle, in reductions in snow and ice, in global mean sea level rise, and in changes in some climate extremes. It is extremely likely that human influence has been the dominant cause of the observed warming since the mid-20th century. And cumulative emissions of CO2 largely determined global mean surface warming by the late 21st century and beyond. Most aspects of climate change will persist for many centuries, even if emissions of CO2 are stopped. This represents a substantial multi-century climate change commitment created by past, present, and future emissions of CO2. In contrast to these assertions, Table 3 delineates the primary science conclusions of the NIPCC, 2013 and 2014. Physical science. Neither the rate nor the magnitude of the reported late 20th century surface warming, 1979 to 2000, lay outside normal natural variability, nor was it in any way unusual compared to earlier episodes in Earth's climactic history. Furthermore, solar forcings of temperature change are likely more important than is currently recognized, and evidence is lacking that a 2 degrees Celsius increase in temperature, of whatever cause, would be globally harmful. And no unambiguous evidence exists for adverse changes to the global environment caused by human-related CO2 emissions. In particular, the cryosphere is not melting at an enhanced rate, sea level rise is not accelerating, no systematic changes have been documented in evaporation or rainfall, or in the magnitude or intensity of extreme meteorological events. And an increased release of methane into the atmosphere from permafrost or sub-seabed gas hydrates is unlikely. Also, the current generation of general circulation climate models, GCMs, are unable to make accurate projections of climate even 10 years ahead, let alone the 100-year period that has been adopted by policy planners. The output of such models should therefore not be used to guide public policy formulation until they have been validated and shown to have predictive value. Biological impacts. Atmospheric CO2 is not a pollutant. It is a non-toxic, non-irritating, and natural component of the atmosphere. Long-term CO2 enrichment studies confirm the findings of shorter-term experiments, demonstrating numerous growth-enhancing, water-conserving, and stress-alleviating effects of elevated atmospheric CO2 on plants growing in both terrestrial and aquatic ecosystems. And the ongoing rise in the air's CO2 content is causing a great greening of the Earth. All across the planet, the historical increase in the atmosphere's CO2 concentration has stimulated vegetative productivity. This observed stimulation has occurred in spite of many real and imagined assaults on Earth's vegetation, including fires, disease, pest outbreaks, deforestation, and climactic change. Also, there is little or no risk of increasing food insecurity due to global warming or rising levels. Farmers and others who depend on rural livelihoods for income are benefiting from rising agricultural productivity throughout the world, including in parts of Asia and Africa, where the need for increased food supplies is most critical. Rising temperatures and atmospheric CO2 levels play a key role in the realization of such benefits. And terrestrial ecosystems have thrived throughout the world as a result of warming temperatures and rising levels of atmospheric CO2. Empirical data pertaining to numerous animal species, including amphibians, birds, butterflies, other insects, reptiles, and mammals, indicate global warming and its myriad ecological effects tend to foster the expansion and proliferation of animal habitats, ranges, and populations, or otherwise have no observable impacts one way or the other. Multiple lines of evidence indicate animal species are adapting, and in some cases evolving, to cope with climate change of the modern era. And rising temperatures and atmospheric CO2 levels do not pose a significant threat to aquatic life. Many aquatic species have shown considerable tolerance to temperatures and CO2 values predicted for the next few centuries, and many have demonstrated a likelihood of positive responses in empirical studies. Any projected adverse impacts of rising temperatures or declining seawater and freshwater pH levels, acidification, will be largely mitigated through phenotypic adaption or evolution during the many decades to centuries it is expected to take for pH levels to fall. And a modest warming of the planet will result in a net reduction of human mortality from temperature-related events. More lives are saved by global warming via the amelioration of cold-related deaths than those lost under excessive heat. Global warming will have a negligible influence on human morbidity and the spread of infectious diseases, phenomena observed in virtually all parts of the world. Thoughtful analysis of the IPCC and IPCC summaries of the scientific literature, tables 2 and 3, reveal 1. A lack of empirical evidence for human-caused global warming. 2. That the temperature fluctuations that occurred in the 20th century fell well within previous natural bounds, and reinforces the fact, 3, that IPCC's advice about future dangerous warming is entirely predicated upon the accuracy of their speculative computer models. In addition to which, the 4 contextual tests outlined in the earlier part of this essay also provide strong evidence against alarm. Some will say, nonetheless, that given that the science lacks certainty, whatever that might mean, we should give Earth the, quote, benefit of the doubt, by which they mean taking precautionary action against human-related CO2 emissions, just in case they should cause dangerous warming. However, this catchy phrase reveals a profound misunderstanding of the real climactic risks faced by our societies, because it assumes that global warming is more dangerous, or more to be feared, than is the equally likely occurrence of global cooling. In reality, the converse is more likely to be true. It needs to be recognized that the theoretical hazard of dangerous human-caused warming is but one small part of a much wider climate hazard that all scientists agree upon, which is the dangerous weather and climactic events that nature intermittently presents us with, and always will. It is clear from the many and continuing climate-related disasters that occur around the world that the governments of even advanced wealthy countries are often inadequately prepared for such disasters. We need to do better. And squandering money to give Earth the benefit of the doubt based upon an unjustifiable assumption that dangerous warming will shortly resume is exactly the wrong type of picking winners approach. Many scientists, including leading solar physicists, currently argue that solar cycling implies that the most likely climactic trend over the next several decades is one of significant cooling rather than warming. Meanwhile, the IPCC's computer modelers assure us with all the authority at their command that global warming will shortly resume. Just you wait and see. The reality is that no scientist on the planet can tell you with credible probability whether the climate in 2030 will be cooler or warmer than today. In such circumstances, the only rational conclusion to draw is that we need to be prepared to react to either warming or cooling over the next several decades, and also to severe weather events, depending upon what nature chooses to serve up to us. A primary government duty of care is to protect the citizenry and the environment from the ravages of natural climate-related events. What is needed is not unnecessary and penal measures against CO2 emissions, but instead a prudent and cost-effective policy of preparation for and adaptive response to all climactic events and hazards. The appropriate response to climate hazard, then, is for national policies to be based on preparing for and adapting to all climate-related events as and when they happen, and irrespective of their presumed cause. Every country needs to develop its own understanding of and plans to cope with the unique combination of climate hazards that apply within its particular boundaries. The planned responses should be based upon adaptation, with later mitigation where appropriate to cushion citizens who are affected in an undesirable way. The idea that there can be a one-size-fits-all global solution to deal with just one possible aspect of future climate change, as recommended by the IPCC, and still favored by green activists and most media commentators, fails entirely to deal with the real climate and climate-related hazards to which we are all exposed every day. Climate Change: The Facts is published by Stockade Books. All rights reserved.